So, good. I saw at Batavis, Tuesday, the 22nd of December, Rabbi Yitzchok Eliezer Brief, I saw at Batavis.
First time I'm speaking here on the Torah Way, and I've been asked quite a few times, and I haven't been speaking till now. I had the time, I'll explain why, and that's got to do with Tish, the 9th of Tibus, the 10th of Tibus. First, we'll see in the Shechnurach, I've got Shechnurach, got a fine one. The Shechnurach says, in Hilchus Taanus, Tzimen Tuf Kif Pai, that you should fast. It's a Mekor, it's a Megillus Taanus, that there's 3 days of fasting in Tibus, the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th. So it says the time of the 8th is the time, because then they translated the Torah into Yevunis, and it was 3 days it was Choshech. On the 9th, the 10th, Sumach Melech Bubel, Nebuchadnezzar surrounded Yerushalayim, and it started, the Gula started them. And on the 9th, we don't know what happened. That's what the Shechnurach says, but it still got a Talmud there. The Tirezuov asks a kasha on the Shechnurach. Why does it say you don't know? We say the Slich is today. Ezra Sofer was Nifter on the 9th. The Mugen Avruam doesn't ask as a question, just says, look at the Slichus. I've seen Achroinim trying to answer on this question of the Tirezuov, that this Tirezuov, the Mechaber was a Sfardi, and there was two types of Slichus, the Sfardish Slichus and the Ashkenazish Slichus. And this, that we say that Ezra Sofer was Nifter, was in the Ashkenazish Slichus. He did not know about it. That's why he says, Loi Noida, we don't know why it is. And the Lushna of Mung of Rome is, I don't remember, Malpeh, it's much like that. He just says that the Shechnur, the Isp, we find in a town that we haven't didn't know, but we do know because we've got the others, we've got the Slichus. The Reburach Frankel, the Burach Tam, at the end of the Shechnurach, he brings another few Tamim why there's a Tamis on the 9th of Tibus. He brings, I'll just say the beginning what he says, and then I'll explain more Barichas, all of the reasons. The first reason he brings was about Shimon HaKalfas. He says it was in the times of the Peritzim. There was a time when the Eden had a lot of problems, and he helped the Eden, and he was Nifter on Tes Tibus. That's why they make a Tarnus. It doesn't explain much. Then he brings the Bahag. The Bahag says that Ezra Sofer and Nechemya ben Chachalia were both Nifter on the 9th of Tibus. Then he brings the Ravid and Saifa Kabula. The Rav wrote the Sefer Kabbalah, which is like a historical cipher, which rose the Shoshelus of the Torah from the beginning till his times. And he writes there that in the times of Yosef HaNugit, it was the time of Shmuel HaNugit, he was very rich and he was very powerful, and he built the Torah, and his son was Yosef HaNugit, and the Goyim were mekaneh him, and they killed him, and a lot of people together, was a pogrom. That's why they make Tes Tibus, and he finishes off, the Bahag finishes off, that the Chumim themselves did not know why they made it, but see, later, when what these things happened, they understood why they made the towns. This is what the Burach Frankel mentions, the Burach Tam. There's another two reasons which are brought in Svurim. One is the remove. And it made the parish on Megillas Esther, called Mechir Hayayim. And the Mimuz says there, Vatilukach Esther, the Melech HaShvayrish, the Chodesh Vasiri Tivus, was on Test Tivus, the ninth of Tivus, Esther Malka was brought to HaShvayrish, and that's why it was a Tarnus. Doesn't explain also. And then, the Masifta, the new Shas Masifta, has got the back of it, Megillas Tarnus. Megillas Tarnus is one of the, if it's not one of the first, if it's the first Torah Shebal Peh, which was written down even before the Mishnais, was Megillas Tarnus. The Gemara quotes quite often from that. And there, there's a perish. It says there that the Makor of this is Megillas Tarnus. Ches, Tes, Yid, Tibus. It was a Yim Tarnus. And there's a perish there called Toisvus Chadushim. And he brings the Oiso Ish, Yoshka, was born on the 9th of Tibus. So we've got five reasons. And I'll explain a bit the point which I want to get why I didn't deal with the Dusha, and to bring it down to this thing. There is a problem of giving a Dusha in English. I don't know if the Olim knows. I'll go a bit in history and a bit in Alucha. In history, it was mainly in Hungary. It was the times of Chassam Sofer, and the reformers started picking up their, they started working. And there was a lot of killers which became fry. One of the main things was giving the Rusha, give a Rusha in Rushan Amen, not in the Yiddish spoken language, but in the Goyish language. There was a big fight. The times of Chassam Sofer had started, and the Chassam Sofer in his Tzavua is very famous, and in his Chivas writes very sharp that you should not take a Ruva speaks for Rushan Amen. And he's got in the Drushas, he speaks about it, he mentions it quite a few times, the Al Torah mentions it. There's another Chiva which I'll quote. There's a Chiva in Eben Ezer, it's about a get. And he complained that the people who wrote that get, the Rabunim, were not Tomid Chachumim, and he finds a lot of mistakes in that get. And one of the towners he mentions is that they wrote, was that get was written in the town of Pest, Budapest, and they wrote Budapest. There was a Yiddish way of writing it, without the high at the end, and there's a Goyish way of writing it with a high at the end, and he complains that they wrote with the Goyish way. And he mentions, so what's wrong? And he mentions something there. He mentions there the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi, the Gemara in Shechab Shabbos, everybody knows, there was Yid Ches Duvar Shigozer, there was a day which was a big fight between Talmidei Basham and Talmidei Basil. And Tamid the Bashamah, they were Goyver, and they were Goyzer, 18 Xyrus, they were Goyzer that day. Yimura brings it in Shabbos. Yerushalmi adds on. One of the things is Lushan Amen, Lushan Nochrim, I think it says. So the Chesbsoifa Tanis, it's one of the Yit Chesduva to have Lushan to speak not in the Goyish Sprach, but, and he says a point there. He says, Yiddish, what's Yiddish? It's German. It's like German. He adds on, it was specially made with mistakes, a different dialect, and different to understand. It shouldn't be the Geder, the Xyrus, Yid Ches Tuvah. That's what some Sofer writes. L'choyre, it's a very sharp achiever, and L'choyre, it's a very halucha de gemasa. I'm not going, it's got a lot of points, but the Pele is one of the greatest, if not the greatest Talmud of the Chassam Sofer, the Maram Shik. He's got another Shiva, which is discussing this, and there, it was after the Chosef was already Nifta, there was a big, the 70 Rabunim in Hungary came together, the town of Milovitz, and they made Tkunas. One of the very strong Tkunas is that you're not allowed to speak Shim Oif, you're not allowed to speak Lushan Amen. A roof special, not allowed to speak Lushan Amen. And the Sam's roof hasted on it, and in Shivas, the new ones, it's printed all the tkunas. And that tkunas was very strong in Hungary especially. And there was a shoyel, and the Hillel Kolomayi was one of the greatest talmidim of some sofer. He was very stark against it, and he wrote, about a few years later, there was a shala, what came along is, there were Radik Hillas, which only knew Hungarian, only knew, they didn't know any Yiddish, but they were Eilich. And they wanted the Ruva speak that language. Should they, are you allowed to? You're not allowed to. They don't meet L'shem, they mean it L'shem Yiddishkeit, but they only know it. And the Maram Shik Be'etzem wants to be matter. He wants to be matter. He wrote that he held the Tchilet Smita, but as all my Chabayim and the main Yerubhinu Kolomai Halsu Usa, he's masking its Usa, and the main thing he taught is because then to speak the Goyish language was a tool which the reformers used to get, make the off the data, you're not allowed to use it. And the machzer in the pele is he doesn't quote the Chivas from Sefer about the Yid Ches Tuvah. This is a pele because at the end of the day he quotes Chivas from Sefer. He quotes a lot of Chivas from Sefer, and this Chivas from Sefer he does not mention. I thought Kenzam because Mustuma, if you speak the way we speak English, we put in Yiddish words. Bashefel, all the Eivishten, all these words, we don't speak plain English, where we don't understand. A goy who's come and sit here, he wants to properly understand it. Ken Zan, it's not really, it's Pashtus, not, it's Nichol Bechlaudach some Seifer that he says, it's Mishal Ilgin, it's like Yiddish, it's not the proper English, Yinglish, as they say, Yinglish. So that way is made some coming, that's why the Maram Shik, when he's speaking like when a Gudel was speaking, he wasn't speaking a high polished Hungarian, high polished German. That's why he didn't quote the Chassam Sofer, but Chassam Sofer only speaking Pashas, a high polished English, a high polished German, a high polished Hungarian. That's why. The Pashas. But I want to get back to the point. Why Taka did they do the Yid Ches Tuvah? Because one of the main points of Yid Ches Tuvah is that the Yidden shouldn't mix with the Goyim. To make there one of the things they made Gozvi al Yainom, Baal Shamnon, the Begoyzer on wine of the Goyim, even it's not Yain Esach, just Tam Yainom Shul Goyim was the Begoyzer then. Why? The Yidden shouldn't mix with the Goyim. That was one of the main points of quite a few Gezeiles Yid Ches Tuvah. And that's why the also shouldn't speak the Goyish language. It's all part of that. Going over, now let's get back to Kastaibis. Going over to all these Gezeiros, I think if we look properly, we'll find this point the whole time. That the Chazal and the Gedolei Yisrael, all the generations, were very makpid to do Gezeiros and to do things that it shouldn't be mixed with the Goyim, where the more we can separate from the Goyim, the better. I'll just quote, as we said before, the interesting thing which I always there's a tshiva of Reb Noyde Behida and a tshiva of Reb Kiva Eiger, both to London in those days. If you see, how do you say London in English? London. It's a pasuk and it's a segel. It's not London. It's not. But both of them, when they write, they don't. Even though in English you write two N's, two O's, L-O-N-D-O-N, but the first O is more of a passive O, and the second O is more of a second O. That's the proper, how you say it in English. They both write it, or the Lamed Aleph, meaning Dalet Aleph, or the Lamed Vuv, London. That's how they say it in Yiddish. London, not London, not London, London. That's how they say it. It's because I think that's the way you write it in Gittin Ochet, you write London, not London. No. What? No. Oh, now you say it. The first person who wrote a cipher in English, spoke English, weiß nicht, to find, is the Remu in Hilchas Peisach. He brings there the halacha that when you learn, you say the haguda, you say it, that you should, the pnabais, the women and the children should understand. He quotes the Rima Londres, that was the Rima London. He explained to his children, I don't know, lawyers, French or English, not exactly which language they spoke. And he quotes like to the Rima Londres, writes the Grossio. He spoke that there wasn't a shala that it should be the Goyish Sprach. It was more of a the Yiddish dialect. Now I'll go back to the test times. The first thing is, which asked Ezra Sofer. Before we go to that, there's a interesting Yaris Dvash from Björnsen Eibeschitz. In the middle of the drusha, he said, one of the drushas, he puts a little shtickle in. He says like this. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who gave the Torah Shebatzar. And the Yidden went down the first gulas to Gulas Bavel. Ezra Sofer Chuzer came back to Tzrul, and a lot of parts of the Torah were forgotten. And Ezra Sofer Chuzer VeYoster, he was the one who reinstated. He was the one who brought back the Torah Shebatzar and started off Torah Shebalpeh. That's where the Torah Shebalpeh started off. So it says Moshe, and the Gemara says that really Ezra should have made such nisim like Moshe Rabbeinu. And the door wasn't Zoicha, so we see as Moshe Rabbeinu and Ezra Sofer have got something in common. So he finishes off, they've got another thing in common. Like Moshe Rabbeinu steigt, the Yuda ish as Kirusoi, nobody knows where he's buried. Ezra Sofer, we don't know where his Yitzhak is, because here we say he was Nifta Test Kaivis, and here we say Renoida, we don't know what happened. So he says this that Renoida was specially done because Ezra Sofer had this shyness of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why there is a certain uncertain, there's an idea, you don't know what happened around his Neftira. But we all know, if you look in Nach, in Sa'im Ezra and in Nechemiah, as the Bahag writes, was Ezra and Nechemiah both were Nifta on Test Tivus. If we look there, and Ezra and obviously Test Tivus, Asura Tivus, but Bahag brings both Test Tivus. So, both of them, when they came back to Tzrul, one of the biggest problems Klal Yisrael had was they were mixing with the Goyim. They married Goyish women, and it says because they spoke Goyish language, spoke Medabrim Ashtoides, they were speaking the Goyish language, and they married Goyish women. And Ezra and Nechemiah both had big fights, one of the biggest fights for them, to separate the Yidden and the Goyim. And it was not only in marriage, but they also worked the Ishnef Shach as the Goyim tribes to help them build the Mikdash, to help them build the Rishalayim. So Loy Lecham Luni Livnes by Sadekaini. Everything separated. Ezra and Nechemiah both worked very hard to separate the Yidden and the Goyim. Shouldn't have any Shach as each other. There was one very strong theme. If you go through Ezra and Nechemiah together, you see that very strongly. I haven't got here Misifta. We'll go back to Yosra Mugit. It's worth looking in. This Tosfos, in the Masifta Shas, they've got the back of Masechtas Tanis, they've got Megillas Tanis. They've got a few Purishim. One of the Purishim is Chadisha Maru Alayhi. And he brings, it's a coal boy. He brings the coal boy, what happened there? It's Beklal, it's done nice to look at it there, to see the godness of Rav Shvila Mugit, how it was nefesh to build Torah, and his Shivas, and how Imamashi. I thought I'll find one here. I'll say it word for word. But look up and see the godless, how Mamashi built the whole Torah. He wasn't the times when there was a tkifa that went over from the times of the Goyanim to the times of the Rishonim. And he was the one who built Torah in Sfad. Not only in Sfad, the whole world he built Torah. And then it goes to his son. His son yashned everything from his father. His Ashiras and his Hashiras of Torah, everything. It says one thing he did in Yashin. He was brought up, Shmira Nugit was brought up in a poor family, so he had this anivus. Whereas Rav Yosef Anugit was brought up in a rich family, and he was much more outgoing with his Ashiras, and the Goyim saw his Ashiras, and they were Mekana his Ashiras. So that brought his downfall, and they killed him with the pogrom, and killed him, and there was a lot of Eden who visited him to see. Come and visit him, and it was a big pogrom that killed him. So the Masa also the same thing is, as I understand, that as Shmuel Nugget, they were kept separate. The Goyim didn't see what the Eden did. But Shainka and Yosef Nugget was already more out. They were showing what they had, and the Goyim saw it, and that was Goyim. That the Goyim were Mekama, and that brought the whole parasha. The next one is the Ramu, which writes in. And the Esther Malka was taken to Ahasuerus. I don't think we need a better example than that. The biggest tzaddikus, Esther Malka, she was a Nevi'ah, and now she was taken into by Ahasuerus, which she had to marry a goy. There's a shaul in the Gemara, if she married Ahasuerus, it was just a shed who who went to Schweirisch. But the master, at the end of the day, she had to live in the Goyish house. She lived with the Schweirisch. And her son was the Yuvish who built the second Besamikdash, who helped. And he grew up as a Goy together with the royal family, and he became king. And Zeik Meshoyin, so it was big, they made the Talmud, the somebody who had to live with a Goyim, like a Goy, and had shaykhus with a Goyim, and Esther Malkus was the best example of Yid Nebuch living with a Goy together. The next thing is, it's a very interesting thing, it's a little historical thing, Shimon HaKalfas. And people will be surprised to hear it. It's a very, I've seen it, other Svurim, I've heard it. Who is this Shimon HaKalfas? If I say it now, people will start thinking this. St. Peter, the first Catholic Roman Pope was St. Peter. He was the Shimon HaKalfas. That's it's Lamasa, the Burch Tam and the Chasam Sofer both quote this. There's a Max Zavitri who says that some say it was him, and he says it's a very big avarice to say it. But the other Rishonim, the Sefer Chassidim, does mention it. He says that if it's tzaddik, if people believe in a person, he's a god. Even though he's a tzaddik, he gets an oynish. And he mentions Shimon Kippur, Shimon Kalfas. And the story was like that, because originally the Christians were a Yiddish sect. Yoshka and all the Talmidim, all the Gemurah, the Sanhedrin, they were all Yidden. They were Talmidim, and they, before they were killed, they all quoted Halucha, the Gemurah being Sanhedrin, which has been censored, which not all the Gemurahs have got it. And it was one of their big aims was to shmad Yidden. And even till now, they've got a certain by the Christians to missionize Yidden is a bigger shiva than to get a goy to shmad themselves. To have the Yidden is that's for that a gewaltige thing. And then there was much like a sect, and they were quite a strong sect, and they had a starker spur on the Yidden. And the Chumun sat down, what can we do to get rid of this sect? So there's one of the Talmidim was called Shimon HaKalfas, and he said, I've got an idea. The idea is to go to them, say, he was a clever person, he'll become part of that sect, and he'll work himself to become the leader of the sect, and he'll manage to get them away from the Eden. But in that case, he has to live like a goy. And he asked the Chachamim, they will ask him, that they should take themselves, that he's doing avayda l'shma, and the Chachamim will ask him. And some say that he made nishmas before he left, that should his neshuma to remember him, that he did something great for the Eden. And he went to them, and he was St. Peter, and he pointed with them a few things. First, they shouldn't mala themselves, they should live like, not like the Eden. They shouldn't keep Shabbos on Shabbos, they should keep Shabbos on Sunday. He changed the whole thing, that they shouldn't have any shayach with the Eden. And that's when, since then, the Eden didn't have any problems more from the Christians. They became like, they more made attention to the Goyim, and they got put rid of them. That was Shimon HaKalfas, and he was a Tzash Tzadik, and he held the Eden. When he was Nifter, the Eden, they made a Yom Tanis, Lekoida. So this is another thing which we had to separate the Eden and the Goyim, each other. The last thing is Yoshka, Chassidim in Hungary, it was very makbet nittel. What's the whole idea of nittel? It originates mainly, according to most things, it originates because he was born Tes Tivus, but the Chassam Sofer, there's a letter that Chassam Sofer writes, Hashem is Rebbe of Nusen Adler. What's the inyan of not learning on nittel? Because it's an inyan of avilus. That because he was such a big grusha, it doesn't explain why. What's the avilus is? But I've seen other svurim also say that as the goyim were making it's a festive time. So the yidden dafke just opposite. They didn't want to join the festivities. They made the avilus on that day to be able as. They didn't want to have shaykhus with the festivities of the Goyim. So that's why the special made opposite from the goyim. And they said, there's a minhag, we should brought down the Rishonim from Nitlan to say Ulaini L'Shabayach loud. We've got no shahas with the goyim, and we are separate. We are over the Hashem. I'll finish off. Don't want to take chotchi today. Nobody's eating breakfast. We've got a few more minutes, but I'll finish off with the Mesha Chochma. Mesha Chochma in Parshas Bo. How do you think that the Hungarian roof or the Hasidic roof wrote that? It's the Mesha Chochma, the Litvish. He writes very strongly about this point, and he writes there that there was two times in Klal Yisrael Yidden were in Gulas. One was Gulas Mitzrayim, one was Gulas Bubel. In Gulas Mitzrayim, the Yidden were they were very low matzav. But the Shlashini Lishoinom, Shlashini Levishom, Shlashini Shmoisom, the Kedurim and Suyugim, all these separations they were very strongly strong about. Mash Aiken and Bubel was just the opposite. They had the Torah, they were Eilich. But this separation, they were very schwach. They were chutzi ashtodes. They were speaking, they married Goyish women, and they were speaking the Goyish languages. So he says, we find in times of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Yidden had the Ge'ila was with such nisim and nefluas. Whereas the times of Ezra Sofer, they were not zoich to all this. Why? Because they were very lax in this, in the Gedurim. Even though they were great in Torah and Mitzvahs, as they were lax in the Gedurim, the Yidden and Goyim, they weren't zoich to this Ge'ila so strongly. Whereas in times of Moshe Rabbeinu, they weren't in this Madraiga, but as they were separated strongly from the Goyim, they were zoich to this Ge'ila with Nisim and the Flus. Rav Shehelf, we should be zoich to the Ge'ila Shleimer and Heiler, we should have, these days should be Yom Simcha, all good.